guide us and lead us. We pray to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Ah, answer to prayer. Wonderful. So this summer, my family had a chance to go to PEI, Charlottetown, and we were walking on the seashore for about a couple of hours, and we were tired, and we stopped, and we came to Cow's Ice Cream in PEI. Oh, amazing. Look at this. Look at the cones. Look at the sundae. It's the crunchiest, nuttiest, creamiest things you've ever had. And we spent our time, you know, the next 20 minutes just savoring every single drop of this. We didn't talk much. We just sat there and enjoy savoring our time together. Wonderful. I want to share with you this idea of what is the restless life and the restless heart that we have. It's been said that we live, It said we live in an age of acceleration. Everything is speeding up. With AI technology, we'd expect an era is going to be even faster. The pace of life is moving at breakneck speed. I remember my mother, who's passed away, used to write letters, wait for 2 weeks for a reply, and think nothing of it. Now, if you and I text somebody and they don't respond in 10 minutes, we think, are they okay? Or are they upset with me? Right? We used to watch TV episodes at a set time every week, and now we can binge a whole weekend on whatever Korean things, Chinese things, okay? And afterwards, in one weekend, and we still feel that we're behind. I once saw a sign in the cafe. It says, we make coffee fast, but we cannot make it instantly. God takes 6 days to make a tree. Give us at least 2 minutes for your latte. Canadian survey actually shows most of us feel like we have less free time now than 30 years ago, even though we own more labor-saving devices. Can you imagine us, you know, using the washboard and go to Riverside and try to wash? No way. But yet, we feel our time is short. Why? Because the moment we save time, we fill it. Email used to be a convenience. Now it's a 24/7 expectation. Grocery shopping used to be a Saturday morning leisure adventure. But now we click and collect in 5 minutes, isn't it? You know, news used to arrive the next day in the paper. Now it pings on our cell phone before we finish our morning coffee. And yet when we think about it, all these efficiency, most of us feel more tired and yet all more distracted and more restless than ever. Canadian statistics show that burnout is at record highs, not just in workplaces, but among parents, students, and even retirees like myself. It's not just a work problem, but it's a life problem. And here's the hard truth. You know, for many of us, even our faith life has become hurried. We rush through prayer, we skim through our scripture, we rush to the church for services, and we want to go home and get ready for Monday. But God of the Bible has a different rhythm for us. He invites us into Sabbath, not just a day off, not just a church service, but a way of life that declares what? I trust God enough to stop. So, what does the Bible say, you know, as a commandment, as a gift, as a Sabbath? Now, we have read this, so I won't read through the whole passage again, but I just want to highlight some of the the idea is here. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do your work, but the 7 days is the Sabbath to the Lord. You should not do any work. For 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and that all is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed that day. You know, the word Sabbath actually comes from the Hebrew word that means to cease or to stop working. It refers to nothing related to work for a 24-hour period each week. When God gave this to Israel, they have just been free from 400 years of slavery in Egypt. As slaves, they have no weekends off, no statutory holiday, no sick leave. Are you kidding? Just endless labor. In Egypt, your value was measured by how many bricks you made. That's it. But free from Pharaoh, by God, they were worshiping God in Mount Sinai. They found rest in Sabbath. God gave the Israelites a new identity. You're not slaves anymore. You're my people, a new identity as God's beloved. You can rest because I will take care of you. Now, notice, Sabbath is nothing new. It is rooted in creation. For it says here, in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and earth and rested. So it's rooted in creation, but also rooted in redemption. In Deuteronomy 5:15, it says, remember that we were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out. Therefore, the Lord has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. He redeemed you. He saved you. In other words, God is saying, I made you, I saved you, and now I want you children to rest in me. When God gave the Israelites a command in here, it wasn't just a religious rule. You know what it is? It's freedom language. It would be like working in retail over Christmas, 10-hour shifts, 6 days a week, no choice, no breaks. Then your boss say, hey, starting now, David, every Sunday is yours, paid. Are you kidding? But that's what Sabbath felt like to be for the Israelites. In Egypt, the worth is measured in how many bricks they laid. Missed a quarter, you get punished. Sabbath said, you're not a machine. You are a child of God. So today, what is our quota? Our quotas are deadlines, emails, productivity charts, expectations. But God's gift still stands. One day a week to breathe, worship, and remember who we belong to. Now, there's another passage. There you go. In Exodus 31, 14 to 17, it says, observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it is to put to death. Those who do any work on that day must be cut off from his people, from their people. For 6 days work is done, but the seventh day, a day of the Sabbath rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day is to be put to death. The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for the generations to come as the lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. When you look at this passage, it's difficult for us to take in. However, if we understand the context, it's easier for us to know the heart of God. For centuries, as we have said, generations of enslaved Israelites have known no rest, toiling for the Egyptian masters they value, lay in what they could produce. But now, for this generation of free slaves, serving a new master, God's command to rest demands a radical reformation of the rhythm of life. So a new master, they want to emulate the God of creation. They could rest knowing that he loves them, not for what they do for them, but what they have value to God because he chose them. God considered adoption of the Sabbath rhythm so essential to his people that a penalty for not keeping it was shockingly severe. When we think of that, then we ask, God asked nothing of his people that he did not model himself. The Lord, who needs no restoration, stopped to rest, to be present, and to savor the good in all he had made. God simply invites generations of his followers, from Israelites to you and me, to share in his delight. Also, we can see that God as a resistance. In our context, we might not have a literal Pharaoh, but we do have what theologian Walter Brueggemann called the Pharaoh system, a world driven by endless production, competition, and anxiety. Sometimes the Pharaoh is external. Our workplace, our bills, our commitments. Sometimes the Pharaoh is internal. The voice in our head that says, if you stop, you fall behind. If you don't respond right now, people will think less of you. If you rest, you're being lazy. But remember that Sabbath is a declaration of freedom. It's an act of resistance against the lie. What is this? That your worth comes from what you produce. The early Christians know this because in the Roman Empire, refusing to work one day a week looked strange, even subversive, undermining the ingrained culture in the Roman Empire. But it was the Christians' way of saying, Caesar isn't controlling my time. Jesus is. Walter Brueggemann also said, Sabbath is the most radical thing you can do in our economy right now. For some of us, the little red notification bubble in our phone is Pharaoh. The moment it pings, we obey. But Sabbath says, that email will still be there tomorrow. So will you. A Saskatchewan farmer once said, if I keep my tractor running nonstop, it breaks down. So why do I think my soul is any different? Let's move on to think about the four movements of Sabbath. Number one is stop. Put down the tools, shut the laptop, silence the phone, not because the work is finished, it never will be, but because God calls you to stop. Stopping reminds you of the universe runs by God's power, not ours. God will take care of the universe. He manages quite well without us. A lumberjack was challenged to an all-day chopping contest. He stopped every hour to rest. His competitors didn't. At the end, the resting lumberjack had chopped more. Why? Every hour I sharpen my axe. Sabbath is when we sharpen our soul. Secondly, we look at rest. This is more than just sleeping in. Some of us, we do. We do need to sleep in. It's resting from anxiety, from striving, from the rest to prove ourselves. We need physical rest, but also soul rest. Think of our phone battery. You know, when it's about 5% battery power, we charge it, right? But some of us are resting on 1% of our time, you know, as far as the soul battery is concerned, and we never plug it in. And so what happened? Jesus, giving us a Sabbath, is the way that we can recharge our batteries. Delight. God in this creation sequence in Genesis 1:31, it is very good. The Hebrew said he beamed with delight. We're invited to enjoy God's word and the gift of life. God didn't make Sabbath to be boring. It is a day to enjoy him and his creation. Walk in nature, unhurried conversations, laughter. On Sabbath day, something that makes you smile. A walk in the lake, a favorite meal, a board game with family. One Jewish rabbi said, if you don't laugh on Sabbath, you're doing something wrong. Contemplate, lastly. Use Sabbath to draw near to God. Worship with your church. Read scripture slowly. Linger in prayer. We savor his love as it comes through things like food, nature, and the people we're with. This savoring of the love of God remains the central focus on Sabbath. You know, what happened is that when you let your soul breathe in the stillness of God, it really enriches us. In the winter, we can see farther across the prairies because the air is still. Sabbath stillness, let us see God more clearly. What I usually do is, on my own Sabbath, I take half an hour just savoring the goodness of God for the past week. I use journaling or just prayer or just walk in the woods and to recount his love, his discipline, and also his forgiveness. That rejuvenates me. Knowing that God is working in my life at the present, not 4 months ago, but right now, and loving me deeply. You know, we ask ourselves this question. How easy do I find it to practice a regular rhythm of rest? Rest to increase my awareness of God's presence as it restores my soul, not the rest that escape into entertainment. You know, we always believe in work hard and play hard, but actually not. That escaping into entertainment or hides in a different form of activity. We have to ask the Holy Spirit. We think about the culture of my family and my church community. Have I inherited the joy of rest or a deep restlessness? Jesus, teach us the rhythm of rest, to deepen our trust in your unconditional sacrificial love for us. As we look at that, we look into Jesus, which is the heart of Sabbath. In Mark 2, 27 to 28, Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. The Pharisees in Jesus' days have turned Sabbath into a list of burdensome rules, the do's and don'ts. Jesus brought it back to his original purpose. It is a gift for human flourishing. We need this reminder because sometimes we avoid Sabbath out of the fear that is illegalistic, another have to from the scripture. Or we avoid Sabbath because we feel we have somehow failed Jesus. And not devoting our past week or month to him, not loving others as we should. But Jesus showed us, Sabbath is not about legalism, not about missing the mark, not about shame. It's about love. Why? Jesus healed on Sabbath. To show it is about life-giving, not restricting life. In our context, Sabbath might mean reminding ourselves of the refreshing love of Jesus on the cross. His loving kindness to all of his children, that is you and me. He knows that we are fragile and weak. What about plan your Sabbath? For us, a full 24-hour Sabbath feels overwhelming. Start small, build a habit. First of all, pick a time. Many choose Saturday evening to Sunday evening, following the Jewish sunset to sunset rhythm. But whatever suits your work schedule, try to maintain a regular rhythm. Mark the start, light a candle, pray a blessing, share a special meal with your family. Unplug, turn off work emails and notifications. Plan joy, schedule some activities that refresh you and bring life. Worship, gather with God's people because Sabbath is communal as well as personal. Now, we just had a marathon in Edmonton Some people are also enjoying that. But if you've never run before, you don't start with a marathon. You start with something that you do for 10 minutes, walk and run, that kind of thing. Same with Sabbath. Maybe start with 3 or 4 hours where you unplug, worship, and rest. Small obedience matters. Let's look at Sabbath as a foretaste of eternity. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 to 11 says, "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest." Every Sabbath is a preview of the eternal rest to come. When Christ returns, when the striving ends, when joy is complete, Jesus is our Sabbath rest. And we're heading for an eternal Sabbath with him forever in heaven. In that day, we will stop all earthly work, rest from all that work, delight in his glory, contemplate him fully when we see him face to face. Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel, he said this, "Unless one learns to relish the taste of Sabbath while still in this world, unless one is initiated in appreciation of eternal life, one will be unable to enjoy the taste of eternity in the world to come." You know, when you're camping and you smell the first scent of campfire, you know that the warmth of the campfire is coming, especially in a cold late August, early September evening. Sabbath is the scent of heaven's fire, a preview of the full joy in heaven to come. So when we think of this gift of Sabbath, as we learned so far, it's rooted in the past, but we experience it at the present, and we're trusting it for our future. It is something much bigger than us. We live it out through generations and generations. As we share this rhythm with our families, it gives us eternal rest to recharge our life. You see, it might be easy to practice it in the summer months. As we get comfortable with this gift of rest, it'd be useful for us in the fall and in the winter sessions when work and school tend to dominate our lives. That is when this rhythm can be so effective in de-stressing to protect us by the promise of freedom from the busyness, of the tyranny of busyness. Now, let me just suggest a few questions for Sabbath keeping. And it's by Jerry Scacero. I learned from her. And it's for people in different seasons of life and also different temperaments. The first question is, do I need time to prepare for Sabbath? You will need at least half a day or a few hours to prepare for Sabbath. Finish chores, errands, food prep, shipping, laundry, cleaning the house, paying bills, final phone call, and give closure to your work. Then you prepare well, it makes Sabbath more restful to enjoy the order and peace that we so long for. What do I do about my tendency to perfection? Many of us are like that, including myself. We don't ever get Sabbath right. Sabbath is a day to let go of perfection and let God run the universe. Inconsistency, bad choices, and learning from mistakes are part of the journey. Do you do your best to stop working? Let God worry about what you're not going to do right. Let your focus off yourself and so that you can rest in him. So many of us among here are young families, have young families. So the question three is, how do I cease from working as parents? We cannot stop changing diapers. We have to feed the kids, of course. But you can cease from tidying up, cooking, doing laundry, and running errands. You can do something together as a family. You can hire a babysitter so you and your spouse can get time alone. Or you can take time alone for yourself, leaving parenting to your house, to your spouse. Then you take to your house, no, to your spouse. Then take the children and give equal time to your spouse. That 1 hour and a half of contemplation is a gift that you can give for each other. What do I do with my children who are not interested in Sabbath? The important thing to remember that Sabbath is not a day of deprivation. Sabbath is to be a delight. Rather than simply taking things away, think of things that you can add. Special desserts, I love that. Movie, I love that too. Creative family activities, and like making up words in a Scrabble game, wonderful, depending on the age of the children. If your children are older, they're going to be naturally wanting to gather with their friends, but that's okay. You will go through many transitions to keep Sabbath, depending on your children's age and temperament. But try to build rhythm, intentionality, and sacred tradition in your family. You will be a model for them for the rest of their life. What about sports and extracurricular activities my children may be involved in? There may be some activities you want to eliminate because of the stress involved. But there are others you may want to continue, but you do so in a different way. So for example, if your child loves soccer, you may go to the soccer game, but you're not, while you're in the soccer game, multitasking, talking on the phone, reading emails, or reading work-related paperwork. You can focus on enjoying the game, on other parents, on the very gift of people participating in athletics. How, like Jesus, can we exercise compassion on the Sabbath without turning it into work? We rest from work to turn our hearts towards God, and God is always concerned with human needs. It may happen that we become more attentive to the problems of the world around us on the Sabbath, but ultimately lead us to show more, not less, compassion. But just to make sure, it shouldn't be a should. Rejoice in small acts of caring. Follow them to connect us to our compassionate God. Lastly, can we serve at church as a volunteer? Should I stop? No. Yes, you can serve as in your community, in church, of course. We work regularly at work during the weekdays. Serving in our church is not our job. Hopefully, there's delight in serving Christ as a children worker, as ushers, that we see so many of us, greeters, Sunday school, teachers, and worship team. Treating people like Christ with mercy and compassion is the heart of what we do in our church. Lynn Bob says, whatever we choose to do for Sabbath needs to give us rest and life over time. The challenge is discernment, experimenting to find what works for us and the people we love, what helps us catch our breath and remember who we are as God's beloved. So in conclusion, in Sabbath, God is not inviting you into more busyness. He's inviting you into freedom. Every time we practice Sabbath, you're saying, God, I trust you enough to stop. And one day when we enter his eternal rest, we look back and see all these Sabbaths were little rehearsals for the great feast in heaven to come. Let's close it with a word of prayer. Lord, free us from the slavery of hurry. Teach us to stop, rest, delight, and contemplate on Sabbath. In this stillness, we see where our love is fragile and weak. Spirit of God, fill those empty spaces and let your love flow through us until our hearts become a wellspring of life. Amen. We might have time for just 7 minutes to look at some group discussion questions. And this is some suggestions, you know, for 7 minutes, if you can go into your group. This is our regular practice, so that, you know, among two or three people, you can talk about it. And then look at these questions, and I'll just leave them up here for you guys to work on it. Okay, good. I'll watch you guys. Oh, you're most welcome. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So how do I shut it off? Unplug?
What you can do if you unplug it.
Oh, but I need to do benediction. Yeah.